Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, open them, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the very first chapter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. I think I'm going to start reading with the 23rd verse of this first chapter of Corinthians. You could follow me as I read. Then we'll take one verse here in a moment for a text. 23rd verse. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. My. That's already preached a sermon just in those two or three verses, didn't it? Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God, we glory in the Lord. Now I want to notice for a text that 30th verse. But of Him, that's of God the Father, He was talking about God has chosen the foolish things of the world and so on. But of Him, of God, because you see, it's God that planned this great plan of redemption, not man. God planned it. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus. You see, so many times, instead of looking at the situation, and even in ourselves, from the standpoint of what the Bible says about us, of what God says about us, of how God looks at us, we look at ourselves with our own natural eyes. And when you do that, you can't see what God's done. You can't see yourself in Christ. You know, I look a whole lot better in Him than I do out of Him. Amen? And you do too. But see, I can't see you in Christ, and you can't see me in Christ. But yet the Word of God said, but of Him are ye in Christ. And that's the way God sees us, is in Christ. Now listen, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I'm in Him. Are you? Yes. Hallelujah. Who of God? Christ Jesus of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. Well, if He's made unto us all of those things and I'm in Him, then that's the way God sees me. I think about that great text in 2 Corinthians 5:21 where it said, Him that who knew no sin, that was Jesus, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's another one of those in Him scriptures. If you want to be a successful Christian, and we've listed most of the verses for you in that little booklet, little mini book, in Him. If you want to be a successful Christian, read through the New Testament and write down all the verses that talk about in Christ, in Him, in whom, hallelujah, and just begin to confess that's who I am. Even if it doesn't seem real to you, begin to confess it, because the Bible said it, the Bible said it, it's so. If you'll begin to confess it, it won't be long till you'll be enjoying the reality of it. But you see, instead of walking in the light of what the Word says, maybe so many times folks in the church world didn't know what the Word said. Maybe we just accepted church teaching instead of New Testament teaching. We accepted what some man said about it, or what the theologian said. It seems to me that the church, and you know, when I use the name church here, I'm not just talking about, you know, people that are really saved. I'm just talking about the church world in general, you know, whether they're saved or not. But it seems to me like the church has been very strong in teaching man his need of righteousness, teaching man his weaknesses, teaching him his inability to please God. And it seems that the church has been very strong in the denunciation of sins in the believer. And the church has preached against unbelief, against world conformity, preached about the lack of faith. But as a whole, we as the church have been sadly lacking in bringing forth the truth of what we are in Christ and who we are in Him, and how righteousness and faith are available. Hallelujah. You see, you ever notice it? Now, not so much anymore, not in our circles, because we've changed a lot of that. But did you ever notice? I noticed it for years, many, many years. That so many times the songs that we sing are not scriptural. John Alexander Dowie said, so many of our hymns are embalmed with unbelief. Now, one verse might be scriptural, and the very next verse just unbelief and doubt. Most of them put redemption off until after death. But we just got through reading in our text that Christ is made unto us redemption now.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many of the songs that we've sung said we're going to have rest when we get to heaven. We're going to have peace when we get to heaven. We're going to have victory when we get to heaven. But thank God, the Word of God teaches us that we can have rest now. The Word of God teaches us that we have peace now. The Word of God teaches us that we have victory now. The Word of God teaches us that we can be overcomers now. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. And so many times the songs we sing and the sermons we've heard through the years, you know, there'll be no more failing when we get to heaven. Well, thank God, there doesn't have to be any failure this side of heaven. I don't believe God planned that the church would be a failure. Do you? I don't believe in His plan that He planned that we would be a failure. Well, if one of us is a failure, even one member of the body, you know, my little finger can't have the victory without the rest of my body having the victory. Are you listening to me? And so, if one of us fails, it affects all of us. But thank God, God planned that we be victorious. And He gave us the means whereby we could. Jesus to redeem us and His Word to reveal to us His plan. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So many times, in hearing people testify, in hearing sermons, in hearing the songs that we sing, or that is being sung, I don't ever sing them. I mean, even if I'm in a church where they're singing them, I don't sing them the way they do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I put a positive stand on it. Praise God. Say it differently. But so many times to hear folks talk, we have nothing this side of heaven but failure, misery, disappointment, and weakness. But thank God, in Christ Jesus, there is no failure. In Christ Jesus, there is no misery. In Christ Jesus, there is no disappointment. And in Christ Jesus, there is no weakness. I know for a good many years, particularly after I came from among the Baptists over among the Pentecostals, and we didn't have testimony meeting or didn't have testimony services in our church, but Pentecostals, way back in 1937 when I got the baptism, they felt like, you know, you ought to have a testimony meeting every time you went to church. If you didn't, you just backslid. Whether you know, your folks come up in Pentecostal or not, see. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I just wonder about some of those folks. You know, I just wonder what they're yoked up with. You know, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you more misery. I'll make it harder for you." No, he said, "I'll give you rest." 11th chapter of Matthew 28 and 29th verses. "I'll give you rest." Now notice what else he said. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you." Now notice. "And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. "For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest." Hallelujah. "Unto your souls."
Amen.
Not only peace in your heart, but rest in your souls. You know what your soul is, don't you? That's your intellect, your emotions. Now all of that part of you being rest. "Learn of me." Did you notice what he said? "Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is heavy." No, light. My yoke is what?
Light.
Easy. "And my burden is light." Did you ever read that? How many of you know that's in there? Well, now what are you yoked up with? Now notice where the secret is. It's learning of Him. Are you listening to me? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You see, you get born again. Well, you've taken His yoke upon you. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. Oh, aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad?
Amen.
Learn of me. That's where folks have failed. They fail to learn of Him. You see, the written word, it has been given to us to unveil to us the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a scripture that almost sounds like a fairy tale. Look at Colossians 2:10. "Ye," another one of those in Him scriptures, "learn of me." Hallelujah. "Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, what does he mean when he said you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power? Talking about Jesus again and in Him. When are we to be complete? In this life or in the next life? Thank God, Paul said to the saints in Rome that right now in this life ye are complete in Him. Now again, here's where folks miss it. From the natural standpoint, with the natural mind, with the physical eyes, they look at themselves. And all of them are not as pretty as I am. And they look at their own mistakes and shortcomings, and everybody's not perfect like I am, you see. And say, "Oh, that couldn't be me. No, I know I'm not complete." Did you notice it didn't say that you're complete in yourselves? Did you notice that? It said you're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. See, when you get over in Him, you're complete. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now you may not be a full-grown Christian yet, But did you ever stop to think about it? The Bible teaches it's a similarity between physical growth and spiritual growth. Remember what Peter said in one of his epistles? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When you look at that little baby in its mother's arms, it's not a full-grown human, but you won't say it's incomplete. Amen. I said amen. Amen. See, it's in Him that we're complete. Yes, there's room for development. There's room for growth. But the thought I want you to get over to you is that that's the way God sees us. Begin to see yourself that way, and you'll rise to the level of it. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now look at what Paul said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, and the 13th verse. I can do all things in Him. That's another one of those in Him scriptures. In Christ, in whom, in Him. Complete in Him. But of Him, God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Now I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me. Now when is it that we're going to be able to do all things? Is it after we finish this course? And stand with Him in the new heaven, in the new earth. No, Paul said, right now, I can, present tense, in Him, I can do all things. Hallelujah, in Him, which strengtheneth me. Or somebody said, yeah, but now Paul was an apostle. Notice, he did not say, I can do all things because I'm an apostle. Paul, just because he is an apostle, he wasn't any more in Christ than anybody else. See, our thinking has been so wrong, it's defeated us. Oh, yeah, but he was an apostle. Well, an apostle's not any more saved than you are.
Right.
Amen. Apostle, I mean, if you're born again and he's born again, both of you are born again. You can't be more born again than somebody else is born again. Amen.
Amen.
He's not any more born again than you are. He hasn't received remission of sins any more than you have. You see, being an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a teacher don't make you more in Christ than somebody else is in Christ. Make you more of a Christian than somebody else is a Christian. Just adds responsibility on you and work. Are you listening to me? Amen. No, Paul didn't say, I can do all things because I'm an apostle. No, he said, I can do all things because I'm in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're in Him just as much as Paul. Amen. Now, why can't you? I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me because He's my strength. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Now, that sounds a whole lot like what Paul said. Writing to the Romans. See, he wrote that to the church at Philippi. Writing to the Romans in Romans 8:37, he says, nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors. Now listen. How did we get to be more than conquerors? Through Him that loved us. You'll never be a conqueror in yourself. Are you listening to me? But thank God, we are more than conquerors. When are we going to get to be more than conquerors? When we all get to heaven? No, right here. Now why? Through Him that loved us. Now here's a great verse of Scripture that I love. For a good many years walked in the light of it. The very first verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's another one of those in Christ Jesus scriptures. Who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now he goes on and talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and so on. But he says, you're not in the flesh. And I said, well, yeah, but I'm still in the flesh. Oh, you still have a body. But now listen, notice that ninth verse. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah.
Glory.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Amen.
Well, you're not in the flesh then.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Oh yeah, I know we have the body to contend with. Let's just look at things from God's standpoint. Now listen. Notice a little further. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Thank God I have the Spirit of Christ, I'm His. So, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Now, when does it become ours? When we get to heaven? No. No. See, so many times we hear nothing but condemnation preached or taught. The ministry makes no difference between the saint and the sinner. Are you listening to me? And that's one thing that has kept us from growing. I found out that if you'll come to know, Jesus said, learn of me, know who you are in Christ, and though it doesn't seem right, though you may be living way down here on a lower level, if you'll begin to confess that's who I am, you'll rise to that level. But you can take saints or Christians and preach to them like he's preaching to sinners, and they'll all get under condemnation. And they'll live under condemnation. And their faith won't work. Are you listening to me? And they'll live away down here in a low level of Christianity. When blessed be God, they could be living up here in him with all of their rights and privileges. Amen. I remember a lady said to me down in East Texas several years ago, because I was, you know, a pastor, last church I pastored was a full gospel church in that area. And then I was back in there in one of the larger cities preaching. And so this lady said to me, she said, Brother Hagin, in fact, I noticed her in the services, and I asked the pastor who she was. I thought maybe she's a member there. I found out she wasn't a member of this church where I was preaching. She's a member of another church there in town, another full gospel church. But she was dressed so and looked so outstanding. I knew she must be a person of some wealth. Come to find out, her husband's one of the most wealthy persons in the city. And that actually she knew nothing about full gospel. You know, just because there's two or three full gospel churches in the town don't mean folks know about it. She went away to visit some of her kin folks, and they were having a weekly prayer meeting in their home. And she got acquainted with Jesus and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so she said, is a church like this in my city, my town? Oh, yes, they said. So they mentioned some different names, you know, Assembly of God, Church of God, Pentecostal, and so on. She said, oh, yeah, I've. Well, she said, just look in the phone book. So she looked in the phone book, you know, and found several different addresses and looked different ones of them up. One of the churches, only one of them, this many years ago, over 30 years ago, only one of them had a brick church. All the rest of them are just little frame buildings. So I guess maybe of her background, all she felt like, well, I'll go to the first church, the brick church, you see. And I was in one of the smaller churches, the frame church, old revival. And so she said to me, with tears, said, oh, Brother Hagin, said, you know, you give us back our joy of salvation. She didn't know I knew. I'd asked where she went to church. She said, now this morning, you know, after hearing my pastor preach, I just went to the altar and stuck my head under the altar and said, oh, God, the way he preached, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Amen. Well, you see, there's no use siding in with the devil. I mean, the devil's the one that brings condemnation, not God. Are you listening to me? Now, notice Romans, the 5th chapter, in the 1st verse. Being therefore declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. See, the King James said, therefore being justified. But that's a little bit blind to it. See, the same Greek word translated just and so on is translated righteous. And many other translations read this way, therefore being made or declared righteous or justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God you don't have to wait till you die and get to heaven to have peace. You have it now through Jesus. Glory to God. When are we going to find this glorious thing called peace? Now. Now. Hallelujah. The Bible said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked, the Bible said, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Do you ever see the sea? Can't rest. It's moving constantly. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Isaiah said that. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Man, if you don't have peace, you better check up on yourself. Hallelujah. But then if you're going to depend on peace because of surroundings and things on the outside, then you've still missed it. I don't care what's happening on the outside, you can have peace on the inside. Are you listening to me? The Bible then, writing to Christians, said to live peaceably with all men, especially those of the household of faith. You know, they may not be at peace with me, but I'm at peace with everybody. Glory to God. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Somebody said, what do you mean by that? Well, somebody described it like this, that good velvety-like feeling down here on the inside of you. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, look at this verse that I mentioned a little earlier in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. I like another translation. It says the same thing, used a little different word. Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our behalf. Well, if it was for us, it was on our behalf, wasn't it? That we might be made or become the righteousness of God in Him. Another one of those in Him scriptures. Now we know the first part of that verse is true. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. That's true, isn't it? Well, now what about this? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I wonder if that last part of that verse is true. Could it be possible? Are we to be made or to become the righteousness of God in this present life? Or is it after we die and get to heaven? No, it's right now. It's right now. Lady came to me, I was teaching along this line one time, no day service, and I was establishing the fact that we are the righteousness of God in Him. See, and when you know that, your faith will work. That's the reason a lot of people's faith won't work. And so this lady came to me after service and said, Brother Hagin, now you said, you know, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Now I said, I didn't say that. Oh, you did too, I heard you. Oh, I said, no, you're mistaken, I didn't say that. Well, you did. No, I said, I didn't. Well, I can just prove it. Waved her hand back by any number of people. No, I said, I didn't say that. The Bible said it. Now, see, she's very argumentative to begin with. Her voice had that edge to it. She said, oh. Turned around, walked off. See, if the Bible said, she's not going to argue with the Bible. If you're saved, you're not going to argue with the Bible. See, the written word is to take the same place in our lives as Jesus, the living word. That's the way you're going to learn of Him. Are you listening? And so if you're really walking with Him, you're not going to argue and fuss with Him. She said, oh, turned around and walked off. Now another lady came, another time, another meeting. And I don't know why. I guess one reason is always more women than one men. Men's working a lot of time in the daytime. And she said, Brother Hagin, you taught that. I said, I sure did. I'll plead guilty. Yeah, but she said, I just know that's not true. Well, I said, you mean to tell me the Bible's not true? Well, here's what the Bible said. Just open my Bible. She didn't let her read the verse again. I noticed she didn't have the Bible. See, if she'd had her Bible with me and opened it and read the verses as we read them, she'd have known what the Bible said. But she just sure it didn't say that. I just opened my Bible, had her to read it. She read, Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. She called by and said, well, Bible or no Bible, I know it's not so. Now, folks like that in bad shape. I mean, you're sort of in no man's land. You're out where God can't help you even though He wants to, and where the devil can enter into your innermost counsel. I'd rather just side in with the Word. You know, siding in, you know what I mean? But siding in, taking sides with the Word of God is taking sides with God. That's being on God's side. Amen. And I'd rather just side in with the Word than to side in with man, hadn't you? Now, this righteousness, now notice, Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God or become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, is that righteousness like it was in the Old Testament just reckoned unto them? Or do we become righteous in Him? See, the text said, of Him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. No, thank God it's a reality. Then this redemption that He says is ours, is this redemption metaphysical? Or is it a reality? Thank God it's a reality. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now here's a verse of Scripture before we close. And I don't know, I got several verses here. We may just go on for a while. Turn to Jude. You know, Jude just has one chapter. Jude, Joanne, you're shouting close now. How many of you are you shouting close tonight? Get ready. Get ready. Jude 24, 24th verse, just one chapter. I just wonder if this word can be depended upon. Wonder if it's true. Now unto Him, praise God, that's Jesus, isn't it? That is able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, knowing my Baptist background, said, Brother Hagin said, do you believe in backsliding? I said, no. 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 Well, they changed and said, well, you believe you can backslide, don't you? I said, that's quite obvious. A lot of people do. But I said, I believe in practicing what you believe. So I don't believe in backsliding, so I don't practice it. See, a lot of folks must believe in it, so they practice it. But I believe that He's able. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Is He or is He not? Thank God He is. Now notice, and to present you faultless. Hallelujah. You know, that just simply means without fault. Hallelujah. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I tell you, I think a lot of Christians don't even know that verse is in there. But I wonder what it's doing in there. Does it belong to us? Is it for us? Or is that verse just in there sort of hold the rest of it together? No, thank God it belongs to us. Now, is that presence, notice He said, in the presence, faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Is that presence of which He speaks here, before which we are to be set with exceeding joy, is it after death or is it now? Now it seems very clear to me that we live in His presence now. That we walk in His presence now. If He, Jesus, cannot present us now before His presence, God's presence, with exceeding joy, He certainly cannot present us before the presence of the Father God after death with exceeding joy. If it requires death to cleanse us from sin, then we're left in an unhappy dilemma. Because death is of the devil, not of God. It's an enemy. The last enemy that will be put under feet. So it would indicate that God, in His redemptive plan, was not able to give us the victory. He needed the devil to complete His redemptive plan. No, thank God He doesn't need the devil to complete His redemptive plan. Amen. If you live a life of weakness and defeat, it's just simply because you do not know what you are in Christ. Amen. Now I want you to notice something else about this verse. Because see, we get back in the natural if we're not careful, looking at things from the natural standpoint. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. He's our helper. You can't do it yourself. But He can. Are you listening? And that's the reason many have failed. They've tried to live the Christian life. They've tried to do everything within their own strength. Amen. Well, I'm trying to hold out faithful to the end. Y'all pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. Paul said right in the church at Ephesus, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, I'm trying to be strong. I know you're trying to be strong in yourself. No, be strong in the Lord. Now, how are you strong in the Lord? Find all those scriptures that said you're in Him and be strong in them. Start confessing, that's mine, that's who I am. I'm in Him. Hallelujah, I'm in Him. Glory to God, that's who I am. That's being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yeah, pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. I don't know, maybe younger folks, if you haven't studied history, you know, you don't know so much about it because it all happened before your day. But back in the 30s, you know, when Mr. Hitler was headed up the Germans, you know, and he made built a dirigible, you know, Graf Zeppelin, and then United States government did some experimenting in lighter than air aircraft, and they built about 3 dirigibles. And in 1937, I saw a picture on the front of the Dallas Times Herald, Dallas, of one of them. There in Akron, Ohio, that they were they were trying to moor it to a mast. In other words, it was a steel tower. And they're going to tie that thing to that tower. They had about 250 soldiers holding, or enlisted men holding ropes and hold the thing down till they get it secured to that tower. Something happened. In that a gust of wind or something came along and lifted the thing. It suddenly went right back up in there. Now, see, you got to realize that these things, you know, were new. You know, people didn't see things like that. I can remember the last church I pastored, you know, from 46 through 47, just after the war, you know. And I was going up to Dallas one day, and Highway 80, and all of those, you know, cars were stopped everywhere. And people was out looking, and I said, well, what in the world are they looking at? I pulled over the side of the highway, everybody stopped. And they were flying, you know, we'd never seen a big airplane, B-52s. Then I thought that was the biggest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I can remember, you see, in my day, you know, because we'd never seen an airplane. I don't care what, when an airplane went over, boy, everybody run out of the house and looked, you know. Well, you've never seen anything like that. Now, we don't pay attention to them. You know what I mean? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sure, some of you don't see. Well, now that's with this. These are very oddities, you know. And there's a crowd of people out there to see this thing, you know. Suddenly that was just pop back up in the air, you see. Well, now, some of those fellas, these soldiers, had presence of mind enough to turn loose those ropes. Others waited too long. When they turned loose, they plummeted down and hit the cement, you know, and concrete, and some of them broke their legs, and several of them killed. They waited too long, you see. The thing finally just went way up there. And there was a picture right on the front page of the Dallas Times Herald that the photography, see, from the ground took the picture. And you could see that dirigible up there in the air. And you could see somebody, you know, look like a little miniature. Look like a little toy man, you know. Soldier, little toy soldier, about as big as your finger. You see, swinging by a rope in that thing. And the account went on to say, you know, that fella hung up there about 45 minutes. You know, they know how in the world can he hang on like that? Why, everybody else has fallen, and he's bound to give out sooner or later. When he does, he's going to fall that far. Man, he's just going to make they're just going to be a spot on the ground where he hit. Women screamed. Children cried. Some folks fainted. He just kept swinging up there in the breeze, way up yonder, out of sight. Looked like a little toy soldier up there, you know. Finally, after a while, somebody got back there in the gondola somewhere or another and pulled him up into that carriage, you see. They brought the thing back down, moored it to the tower. And you know, when they got him, they had the ambulance backed up there. They know, man, oh, he's superhuman. Held on for 45 minutes. Everybody else give out, he's still holding on. And they rushed the ambulance up there, you know, laid him, you know, got the stretch out, laid him down on the stretcher. They know, man, he's just fatigued. Well, he said, nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Well, how in the world did you hold on so long? Everybody else give out and turn loose. Oh, he said, I didn't hold on. He said, I had a hold of that rope. When I looked back down to the ground, so I was, you know, you can't turn loose now. He said, it's about 4 feet of the rope down. I held on with one hand. I threw the other rope around me and tied it around my waist. He said, I didn't hold it. It held me. You see, a lot of folks, bless their darling hearts, are trying to hold on. Hold out to the end. Wrap yourself in the promises of God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Wrap yourself in the promises of God and just swing free and go through life enjoying the scenery. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now unto Him that is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. Woo! I asked you, did you wear your shouting clothes?
Yeah.
And to present you faultless. He presents you faultless unto the Father. How did He do it? In Him. The Father looks at Him instead of you. Woo! I'm robed in His righteousness. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise His holy name. Well, you want to quit now? Go on a little further. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I believe that the greatest need of the hour is for us to rise up and take our place in Christ.
Amen.
Now listen. Let's look at this scripture. Ooh, my. They're getting better. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Not who's going to, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now turn to Colossians, the very first chapter. Notice the 21st and 22nd verses. And ye that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable in His sight. Now listen again, because you see, you try to figure that out in your little noodle. You know what your noodle is, don't you? That's this bump here on your shoulders, you know. Notice again, it's not something you did. Hallelujah. And you that were sometimes alienated. Hard one scripture said, being in times past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death.
Amen.
He did it. To present you. You see, in his body, through his death, through what he did, he presents you. You didn't present yourself. He presents you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Now, this has already been done in Christ. You stand before him complete in Christ. Are you listening to me? Ephesians 5:27. That he might present it. Notice who's going to do it. You're going to present yourself? No. You're going to get there by your own self-efforts and good works? No. No, thank God the Bible teaches right living and good conduct. Thank God for that. But that'll never present you complete in Christ. Are you listening? That he might present it, that is the church, to himself. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, in the mind of most people, this is after death, but it's not true. We are presented without spot or wrinkle now. Or somebody said, we're going to get there eventually where we won't have any spots or we won't have any wrinkles. No, he has presented us to the Father. He did it. It's what he did, not what you did.
Amen.
Glory. Are you listening?
Amen.
What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. His blood has cleansed you from all sin.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening?
Well,
I know if I'll promise I'll do better, he'll forgive me. No, he won't. I said, no, he won't. He never heard a prayer like that. I said, he never heard a prayer like that. You can't bargain with God. No, you just come with nothing in your hand, but to his cross you cling. Praise God. Nothing in my hand I bring. Amen. You know what I found out? And then it makes saints mad. Just sing during a healing service, just as I am without one plea, and have people, backsliders and folks that weren't living right, come and throw themselves over on the mercy of God. He forgave them and healed them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just get healed right and left. And then some of the old saints come just a griping and a complaining. I wish you'd tell me something. Now I'm a member of this church, you know, and I've lived right all of these years. You know what they call right? Bless their hearts. Why won't he heal me? If you'd come the same way they did, he would. Amen. No, he's the one that does it. He's the one that does it. Now somebody said, do you think that any believer filled with sin, as the term's used, you know, could be in Christ and stand before him without spot or wrinkle? Now listen real carefully. If he, I'm talking about Jesus now, if he cannot take the sin nature out of us when we are born again, if the merits of his blood does not reach this and wipe it out, then man can never be made right with God. Are you listening? No, thank God. You see, our text said, he is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Can you say amen?
Amen.
No, it's not when we die it happens, because Satan's the author of death. It's now. I declare before the angels in heaven, I declare before the demons and all the host of hell that the redemptive work of God needs no help from Satan to make us complete in His presence. I believe that what the Scripture says about us is absolutely true. That God Himself is now our very own righteousness, and that we are the righteousness of God in Him. Take your place. I said, take your place. Now, listen, in conclusion, turn back with me for just a minute. Let me show you something. To 1 Corinthians for just a moment. Let me show you something the Lord many years ago helped me with. Paul is writing to the saints, the church at Corinth. Well, what applies to the church at Corinth applies to the church today. Praise God, you and me. Paul said, "And I, brethren," this is the third chapter, 1 Corinthians, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to hear it or bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal," one translation said fleshly, or one translation said body ruled. Body's still ruling you. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Now, I want you to notice that he goes on talking about this along this line and down to the end of the chapter. Notice something that he said. Therefore, 21st, 22nd, 23rd verse. "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Now, I want to stop right there before I finish. To these Corinthians, who were unsanctified from the natural standpoint, though Jesus was made unto them sanctification, who were body ruled, a lot of us wouldn't even think they're saved. Notice what he said. "All things are yours." He didn't take anything away from them. He told them what belonged to them. He said he didn't take anything away from them. He told them what belonged to them. He said, "All things are yours." Well, now what things? All things are yours. Just go on reading. "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, a few of them's yours." No. "All are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Oh, glory to God. Did you get that? I was preaching in the month of March, the latter part of February and the first part of March, down the last 2 weeks of February and the first week of March, I guess, down in Alabama in the year of 1950. And I was praying one day in my room, the house where I was staying, just a small church in a small town. I stayed in the home of some of the people. And I prayed about 3 hours. I got lost in the Spirit. I call it getting lost in the Spirit for lack of a better word. What I mean is, you get over in the realm of the Spirit and time flies. You think, well, I've been praying 15 minutes. Don't open your eyes and look at your clock. You've been praying 3 hours. But in that prayer that day, I never will forget it, God took me through these first three chapters of 1 Corinthians in the Spirit and changed my life and changed my ministry. The Lord said to me, "If that had been you writing to that Corinthian bunch, you would have said, 'You bunch of backslidden buzzards need to pray too and get right with God.'" You knew up to then that's what I would have said. Huh? But did you notice he said Paul didn't say that? He said all things are yours. He still belonged to him. He said, the Lord said to me in the Spirit that day, in that 3 hours of just lost in the Spirit, he said, "Don't take anything away from anybody. Give them something. Put something in them." Amen. You see, Paul didn't take anything away from them. I mean, even before he began to talk about where they were in the spiritual life and was carnal, if you look at the first chapter, he bragged on them. Said, you come behind in no good gift. Then he began to correct them, and then he wound up again by telling them, all things are yours and yours is Christ, and you're Christ and Christ is God. Tell them what belongs to them, the Lord said to me, and they'll rise to that level. Even from the natural standpoint, the Lord used an illustration with me. In fact, when he first said it to me, I didn't know what he was talking about until he refreshed my memory. The Lord said to me, you remember Tuffy? I mean, when I was lost in the spirit there, that 3 hours. I said, Tuffy? Yeah, the Lord said, you remember J.W.? And he called his last name. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember him. Now, in grade school, he was in the fifth grade, and he should have been in the eighth grade, so he's 3 years behind. And he made, those days they graded us A, B, C, D. And they graded us, you know, A, B, C, D. He made a straight D report card. And this is the third year he's been in the fifth grade. He made a straight D report card. Mr. McCaslin would paddle him from one to three times every day. I mean, you know, he'd go come call him out, you know, and you know where to protect him. You'd hear the licks in the office, you know. Now, J.W., that was his name. J.W. had an initial name, didn't stand for anything. That was his name. His mother had died when he was just a little fella. And his daddy was an engineer on the old Interurban. Used to run from Denison, Texas to Corsicana, Texas. It came through McKinney. And so he is left alone and, you know, run up down the back alley and got into trouble. And there, you see, he should be in the eighth grade. Now, we didn't start school in our day till we were 7 years old, you see. So he's up 15 years old, still in the fifth grade. You know, 3 years older than the rest of us. And so my grandfather was caretaker here of this building. And I heard Mr. McCaslin say to him, Mr. Drake, what are we going to do at J.W.? Because I helped him, you see, after I got out of school. And I heard Mr. McCaslin, the principal, say, Mr. Drake, what are we going to do at J.W.? He said, Judge Abernathy has called me. They already had him on probation, and they're going to send him to reform school. And just had mercy on him because he's, you know, he didn't have a mother. And so I heard my grandfather say to him, Mr. Mack, if you do what I tell you to do, he won't go to the farm school. Ask Judge Abernathy to give us 30 more days. If you do what I tell you to do, he'll never go to the farm school. We'll make a good, worthwhile citizen out of him. Well, Mr. McCaslin said, Mr. Drake, I asked you because I notice at recess time, at noontime, he don't play anymore. He always comes and hangs around you. Grandpa said, you know why he hangs around me? Mr. Mack said, no, that's the reason I came to you last year. He said, I'm the only one that ever puts anything in him. Everybody else takes everything out of him. Everybody else tells you you'll never amount to anything. You're going to the reform school. I tell him, J.W., you're fine. You're going to make it. You can make it. So he just left everybody. I mean, in recess, at noontime, he comes to stay at Grandpa. So he said, all right, I'll call Judge Abernathy and see if we can get 30 days more. And then whatever you say, do or do it. Well, Grandpa said, all right, first thing is don't ever give him whipping anymore. That doesn't have any effect on me. See, my grandfather taught school when he was younger. Now you see he's old. He said, don't whip him anymore. That doesn't. He's almost immune to that. Secondly, you have to build confidence into him. You got to put something in him, not take something out of him. You see, Mr. Mack at noontime sold candy and then take the proceeds of that and buy playground equipment. Grandpa said, I know that J.W. stole the money out of your office because I hid in your restroom and watched him. I know he stole it. He said, but you, at time when he doesn't have a class, you see, study time, you say, call him out. Say, J.W., somebody's been stealing the money out of my office, you know, playground money. I have to have somebody, you know, you're older than the rest of them. And I'm going to put you in there to oversee that. Grandpa said, if there's a dime missing, I'll put it in out of my own pocket. You got to build confidence into him. You got to put something in him. So we went to class that afternoon. It was noontime, he's talking. We hadn't gotten classes study period till he called, Mr. Mack came to the door, the principal, and called J.W. out. Everybody snickered. They knew we were going to hear the licks in a few minutes, but we didn't hear any licks, and J.W. didn't come back. Mr. Mack said, J.W., I need somebody to watch the office, you know. Somebody's been stealing it, been him, been stealing that money. We got to have somebody told, you're older than the rest of them. Now, I'm a witness to the fact, you see, that J.W., you see, not another dime was ever missing.
No, sir. He watched over it carefully. And then not only that, but he never went to the reform school. When that 30 days was up, he was making passing grades in every grade he had. He went on to high school. He became a worthwhile citizen. Now, the Lord said to me, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. If they'd have kept taking out of J.W., they'd never put anything in him, he never would have made it. He would have wound up in the penitentiary. He would have wound up. The same thing's true spiritually. Don't take anything away from anybody. Give them something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Find somewhere where you can hook on with them. Glory to God. You may not agree with everything they believe, but if there's somewhere you hook on with them, praise God. And give them something. Put something into them. You see, Paul did that. He said, all things are yours. They're still yours anyhow. He said, if you'll tell people, Jesus said to me, what belongs to them, they will rise to the level of it. And I started doing that. And I saw people start rising to the level of it. Man said to me, Pastor, he and I went to, I was pastor down in East Texas, the last church I pastored. We went to a camp meeting over here in Arkansas, at Hot Springs, Arkansas. We were going back, the two of us, and this pastor said, Brother, I don't understand. He said, now I used to pastor that church, you know, that you were pastored a number of years before. I said, oh yeah, I know that. He said, I don't know, I can't figure it out to save my life. I said, what is it? Well, now he said, you know Brother so-and-so. Now I know, because I talked to him, he's fine now and all. But he said, you know, when I pastored that church, he had been saved for 12 or 14 years. Baptized all ago. Most unfaithful man. Now he's one of the board members, Sunday school superintendent. Gave 30% of his income into the church while I'm pastor. And said he never did pay his tithes. Didn't come half the time. Just the most... I can't figure out how somebody that floundered around for 12, 14 years finally became such a stalwart Christian. Well, I said, Brother Ferguson, it's real easy. He grinned and said, well, I'll tell you one thing. When he did show up, I was laying for him. I beat his old head bloody. Well, I said, an old hog would have enough sense if every time he'd come up to eat, if you took a ball bat and beat him in the brain, beat him till his head was bloody, he'd have enough sense to quit coming. I said, you see, after you left, some of us started feeding him. Hallelujah. And told him what he was and who he is and what belongs to him. He started growing. Now it grew all that carnality like these people here. And began to blossom. Now here at camp meeting, you know, time or two, a fellow comes every year by the name of Paul Hinton. From a church I pastored way back in 39, 40 in Farmersville, Texas, you see, 40 years ago. Now when I went there, he's a backslider. He got back to God under my ministry, you see. And I had men, they see, when I, that church wouldn't support. They'd never, they was 23 years old, and I was 21 years old. They were 23-year-old church, you see. I was first pastor they ever supported. Every pastor had to work for a living, though among 40 churches, there's only three bigger, had more people than ever supported. Well, I just didn't try to beat them over the head. I'd just get up once in a while on Sunday night and said, hey, I'm going to take up an offering tonight for the pastor. That's me, you see. I said, now, if you paid your tithes, well, we could build a new church and a new pastor, and I could be well supported, but you don't pay tithes. I know it. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. But I'm not going to beat you over the head about it. I'm just going to take up an offering for me. Because I need money just like you do. And I mean, just that fast, I'd have it every time. Now, I'd beat them around about it. But you see, they finally got started off. You know. But here were these men, unfaithful people. But you see, I didn't see them as they were. I saw them by faith. See, you have to walk by faith if you're a pastor. Dear Lord, you see people and all their mistakes and faults and failures, and you'd be ready to throw the towel in and quit. But I saw them what they could be. That's the way, when I talked to them, I told them what they could be, who they were. I acted like they were on that level. And every one of them grew to that level. And many of those men today, some have gone on to be with the Lord. But like Paul here, he's here at every camp meeting. Praise God. Stalwart Christians, you see. Stayed right in there. Even though, oh, how they floundered around. Such babies like these folks here. But see, I told them who they were in Christ. Amen. Ye are Christ. All things are yours. Come on, grow on up here to where it is. Hallelujah. In Him you're already complete. That's the way God looks at you. Now go ahead and grow to that place. And they did. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, everybody stand up. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many of you folks have been born again? You are in Christ. They see your hand. Put your hand up and say it out loud. I am born again.
I am
a child of God.
I am in Christ.
Blessed be God.
And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who has blessed us.
Who has blessed me.
With all spiritual blessings.
In Christ Jesus.
In heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your bountiful provision.
I take my place tonight.
In Christ.
For all things are yours, it is written.
And ye are Christ.
And Christ is God's.
So we belong to you.
Thank you, my Father.
For your great plan of redemption.
Hallelujah.
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 Now put your hand down. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Somebody lifted a hand, I couldn't tell. But are there those among us that could not lift your hand and say, yes, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ. And you would say right now with an uplifted hand, I want to be born again. I want to know Him. I want to be in Christ. I want to enjoy all the privileges and rights that belong to the people of God. And pray for me. Could I see your hand right now? Anywhere in the room before we go tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, let's lift both of our hands again, then praise God as we conclude. Thank you, Lord. Looks like it's about unanimous. Just praise God. Praise God for His great plan. For His bountiful provision. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Now. Some folks are struggling. I know I pick it up in my spirit because, you see, there's condemnation because you keep condemning yourself because you missed it. Remember, 1 John, 1st chapter, the 9th verse was not written to sinners. John did not write that letter to the world and sinners. He wrote it to believers. He says, my little children. My little children. Hallelujah. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you know that word unrighteousness is just simply the word righteousness with the prefix un on the front of it, which means not or non-righteous. And if I'm cleansed from not or non-righteousness, then I'm righteous again. Did you make yourself righteous? No, His blood did. When you confessed, I've sinned, I've failed, forgive me. He's faithful, is He? Do you notice it's all on Him? He did it. Not me, He did it. He is faithful. Is He faithful? And just. Glory to God. I believe He is, don't you?
Amen.
To say, to remain guilty, to stay under condemnation, is to throw off on Him and say He's not just, He's not righteous, He didn't do what He said He'd do. Amen. Remember, I was preaching down in East Texas. A fellow came to the altar one night, along with others. Some were praying with him. The pastor whispered to me, Brother Hagin, I wish you'd talk to him. Said, that's a businessman here. His wife's a member here. He used to be saved, but he backslid. Hadn't been in church in 3 years till now. And I saw him come to the altar. And he said, well, I sauntered around there a little bit and wanted to talk to him. Others were praying with him. And finally, he just got up and went back and sat down in the pew. Others were praying in the altar. I could tell by the look on his face, you see. You know, you can just tell. When folks get forgiven, they don't look sad, they look glad. I could tell by the look on his face, he hadn't arrived. So directly I walked back that way and just slipped in there in front of him, sort of sat down on the back of the pew in front of him and said to him, shook hands with him because I'd never met him, you know. And then I said to him, now you went there to the altar a moment ago, yes. I said, if I understand correctly, you used to be a Christian. Oh, yes, yes. He said, I was saved, I never was filled with the Spirit. But I was a member here for this church several years. I own business here in town and so on. But said, I'm sorry to say I let the devil trip me up by backslid. My wife comes here, but I've been out of church 3 years. Well, I said, you was there in the altar. What'd you go to the altar for? Well, he said, I wanted to come back home. I said, you asked the Lord to forgive you? Yeah. Well, I said, did he? He said, no. I said, how do you know he didn't? He said, I don't feel like it. I said, I didn't ask you that. Did he forgive you? No. Well, I said, now you know. Are you acquainted enough with Scripture? Do I have to go get my Bible? 1 John 1:9. Oh, yeah. He said, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, I said, that's right. I said, now that isn't even written to sinners. It is written to people like you. Christians, it's sin. Yeah, I said, I understand that. Now, I said, you went down there to the altar and you confessed your sins. Well, he said, everything I could think of. I said, you ask the Lord to forgive you? He said, that's right. I said, now, I don't think I'm smart or a smart aleck. I said, were you real honest and sincere about that? Did you mean business or were you just down there fooling, trying to fool God? Tears came to his eyes. He said, Brother Hagin, God knows that I was honest and sincere. Well, I said, that settles it then. He said, what? I said, then God's a liar, isn't he? He lied about it. In your honest and sincerity, you came and said, Lord, forgive me. And he didn't do it. So he's a liar. That settles it. I just turned around and walked off. About that time, I looked back and I heard somebody say, wow! And I looked up and he jumped up off that piano. I believe he jumped 3 or 4 feet high. He said, my God, you know, he said, he forgave me down there a while ago and was praying, didn't he? I said, sure he did. He said, I didn't have enough sense to know it, did I? I said, that's exactly right. Amen. 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 Now, I know in my spirit some folks needed help along that. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Say it out loud. He's faithful.
He's faithful.
He's just.
He's just.
To forgive me.
And to cleanse me.
I'm forgiven.
Of sin.
I'm cleansed.
From all unrighteousness.
I stand complete.
Whoa!
In Him. Hallelujah. 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 No condemnation. No condemnation. That's the way to get out from under condemnation. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. What difference does it make? He does. He's faithful and just to forgive us of most of our sins. No, thank God with the psalmist of old, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgiveth?
All.
How many?
All.
Oh, glory to God. Woo, aren't you glad?
Amen.
All thine iniquities. Who healeth all thine diseases. Just accept it right now. It's yours. Whatever it is. Glory to God. Let's praise Him. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.